Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am your host, John Ledyard of FanRag Sports and a ton of other places. And unfortunately, Trevor Sikkema cannot make it with us today. He has been bombarded with stuff from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers opening minicamp and changing some things last minute for the schedule. I've got to head down to Steelers minicamp here in a very short while, so this is going to be a quicker podcast, but wanted to make sure we got it out to you guys and wanted to make sure we got out, continue to give our thoughts on the offensive line class in preview of the 2018 draft, which we're still a long ways away from, but never too early to start looking. And that's what we're doing throughout the summer. We're going position by position. We started with quarterbacks a couple weeks ago, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. Now we're looking at the offensive line class, which obviously a lot of names to cover when you're looking at five different spots and players all over the country. And a lot of these guys don't get as much hype before they enter the draft, so it's hard to identify out of all these teams and watch everybody and know who the best players are and where they're at. But we've identified a couple of them, and I'm going to talk with you about two centers today that are getting a lot of attention right now, and whether that attention is rightful or not. I'll start with Frank Ragnow from Arkansas, who I think has gotten more attention than any other center. It seems like, you know, Mason Cole from Michigan's been in that mix. Nick Linder from Miami gets some attention. Bradley Bozeman, who I don't think is in his last year of eligibility over at Alabama, has gotten attention as well. Other guys like Coleman Shelton at Washington, Brian Allen at Michigan State. There's a lot of names that you'll probably hear us throw out there throughout this week especially. But Ragnow is a guy that's interesting because he gets pegged as kind of a grinder and a strong finisher and kind of a nasty interior guy. And when I watched him against Arkansas and Alabama, Auburn and Alabama. He plays for Arkansas. I did not see that type of aggression from him. I thought he was a guy that battled the stalemates and was pretty comfortable in those situations. Didn't really look to finish people, didn't really look to leg drive and continue to create movement at the point of attack. He was kind of a cover your guy up and stay on top of him. Sometimes it was even a hang on for dear life type of mentality, if it felt like. And I didn't know whether, I shouldn't say mentality, because with Ragnow, it's hard to know what a player's intent is, but he would lose leverage so often at the point of attack, not because he was super high in his stance, but because he would leave his chest exposed, and then he would kind of get forklifted a little bit at the point of attack off the snap. So something he'll need to work on for sure is protecting his chest. It seems like a silly thing, but chest control is everything along the offensive line. Chest control and leverage. And if you don't have those two things working in concert with each other, it's really hard to create movement in a gap-heavy scheme like Arkansas runs, at the first level anyway. When Ragnow had time to build up momentum and get to the second level, scrape off, I thought he did a wonderful job of kind of queuing up his target and body control and taking a proper angle, getting his hips around, sealing off a rush lane. Again, there were times when he didn't protect his chest well enough. Alabama's linebackers rocked him a couple times. I think it might have been Sean Dion Hamilton who just lit him up and put him on his knees at one point. He just came in with his hands too low and late. And I should mention, he didn't practice, someone told me, the week of the Alabama game because his father had passed away. So obviously he was dealing with a lot in that tape, and that needs to be taken into consideration when watching him against probably the best, or definitely the best opponent he would have faced last season. So that's taken into consideration. But the Auburn one gave me concerns as well, as Ragnow kind of struggled against Montrevious Adams. Wasn't a great player, I didn't think, but Ragnow struggled against his ability to kind of stem him quickly up the field. You know, Adams would just kind of take off the ball, and he ran himself out of a lot of plays, but Ragnow had trouble recovering because Adams was just shooting gaps so often. So that type of an attack, I don't see Ragnow as extremely explosive out of his stance or anything like that. I think his athleticism and bursts kind of off the ball are a little bit, I would say, average. He gets better as he gets into space a little bit more, as a puller and things like that. But I don't think we're talking about a premier athlete here at the position. So a guy that probably will have to win with technique and hand usage, and right now that's a really inconsistent part of his game, I thought. In pass protection, I thought that he did some good things, but I just worry about the better athlete. Caleb Brantley got him with a swim move and was too quick for him on occasion. Montrevious Adams, same thing. And Adams isn't the most powerful dude, but he even got up under Ragno's pads and walked him back several times. Couldn't really work off of that bull rush, but in the NFL, you're going to face better, more talented guys in that way that are going to be able to string moves together and take control of that leverage and movement they've created on you. So I just feel like Ragno gives up his chest too often and doesn't win with his hands as often as he should. Now, the Florida game was like a different story for him. I thought he was so much better in that game. A lot more pulling, a lot of full blocks, a lot of pin and pull stuff that they did. He was getting to the second level. I thought he looked good in that capacity. He finished more blocks than he typically did. Again, there was the play where Brantley beat him and a couple others in pass protection where I still thought the same issues were there. But as a run blocker, I thought he did a much better job of initiating contact, winning chest control, especially on the second level. That has to be consistent. He's playing center this year. He's played guard in the past. I think I would like to see him back at guard maybe in the NFL. I think that could, because it seemed like he struggled with the transition from snap to shooting your hands and gaining control of the defender. There was like a hitch in his motion almost. So maybe seeing him at guard would change some things. I haven't watched any of his guard tape yet, so I'll have to maybe check that out and see if I see anything differently there. But I think he's going to have to be a really good technician to be anything more than a mid-round pick or anything more than an average, at best, starting center in the NFL. Because right now there are clear-cut weaknesses with Ragnow, and I think he is a very smart guy, seems to mentally process really well. There were lots of communication issues up front with Arkansas, passing off twists, and it's hard to know how much of that's on the center. He should kind of be the central hub of that conversation, that communication. So it doesn't seem like a bright spot for Ragnar there, but I think mentally he seemed to process things that happened in front of him well and quickly. I'm just not sure that physically, athletically, he was always in position to pick things up, even if he saw what was going on. So maybe that's reaction timing, whatever it might be, but I just think NFL teams are really going to test him if he starts at center, that you have to really be on your game in that way. And I think with another year, he could be mentally. But again, there's some hard things. There's more athletic interior rushers in today's league than ever before. Teams are going with those three edge players, and one of them kicks inside more than ever before. We're seeing that. So you really have to be as accomplished in pass protection to not allow interior pressure. And that means both from a mental standpoint, being able to process what a defense is throwing at you, and physically, athletically, technically, be able to handle yourself too on the interior. So I think Ragno's got some questions to answer. The better he becomes as a technician this season, the better I think his NFL hopes will be, because he does have pretty good size. He will be a captain this season. He's very scrappy. He will battle hard. And if the Florida game's any indication, I watched four games. I watched the LSU game as well most of the way through. And I thought the Florida game by far was where he finished the most. If that kind of nastiness shows out more in his tape next year, I think you're going to have a lot of coaches that want to bang the table for him at the very least. So, and remember, Arkansas, not the most pass-heavy team. So he's not always – and he's facing a lot of play action at Arkansas. So he's going to face more aggressive pressures probably in the NFL. Alabama ran twists all day against them, but they tend to contain the pocket a lot of the time and maybe blitz their linebackers. And so he wasn't really tested by guys stringing moves together as much as he was the schematics. Like I said, his whole unit seemed to struggle with that. So a lot to get into with Ragnow. I think in his tape, he's an enticing player. I think right now, if you're talking about a projection for him, it's late day two, early day three is best case scenario, probably, in my opinion. Mason Cole, on the other hand, really impressed me, and I'm still working my way through his tape. I wrote up Frank Ragnow. By the time you hear this, it might be up over at ndtscouting.com if you're a premium member. Which you can be for just $20 a year, and I would recommend it because we do draft content all year round, and we scout these college players all year round and have stuff out there for you, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else. So check out ndtscouting.com and see if you can get yourself a premium account for just $20. That's it, and there's no hidden anything. You get a ton of access to scouting reports and the like. So there's my plug, but Ragnow's report should be up over there some point today. Mason Cole, maybe tonight or tomorrow. I'm working through his right now. But, man, I'm impressed with the Michigan center. Played left tackle for them ever since he got there. So I think it's 38 straight starts, I believe, for him. This past season was his first year at center. So I think it was 25 straight starts at left tackle or something like that. Switched to center before the 2016 season. So to go from left tackle to center is interesting. Typically, it's a move from, you know, guard to center or vice versa. But I really thought that Cole showed himself out really well in his first year. It did not look like he struggled with the mental or assignment part of playing on the interior at all, which was really surprising to me. And I'm through two games so far, most of the way through the Penn State game, I think. Zone blocking scheme is a great fit for him. He's very explosive and quick out of his stance. Leverage and hand placement. I love when offensive linemen just kind of continually battle for position, you know, and that's something I think Ragnow could learn from Cole. Ragnow tends to just get in and fight kind of initially, but then he doesn't create much movement. He just kind of hangs on then. You know, Cole is always looking to create a better angle at the point of attack, a more decisive win, you know, a way to keep an offensive line or a defensive lineman's arm from reaching across into the rush lane and slowing a runner down or, you know, snagging an ankle, anything like that. He's always working to improve his positioning, uses leverage and hand placement really well. I tried to look up to see if he has a wrestling background, because the way he used his hands, I thought he might have. I could not find anything. If Michigan fans are listening and they know whether Mason Cole has wrestled or not, just, you know, give me a shout out on Twitter at Ledger at NFL Draft, because you know, I'd really be curious to see if he does or not, because the way that he uses his hands, a powerful dude who doesn't displace people with the regularity that somebody like Quentin Nelson, we talked about yesterday, does. But I think certainly offers a lot for a zone blocking scheme and for a gap scheme because of his ability to kind of just improve positioning and with his hips kind of continue to move around and create rush lanes off his backside, honestly, a lot of the time, and clear a path to the second level just by positioning and leverage. You know, it's not like a big finish or drive guy 10 yards downfield and pancake him type of deal, but I think it's not a stalemate either. Like, he's getting decisive wins just with his positioning and ability to keep moving his legs, keep working his hips around, keep finding leverage points and twisting and kind of jolting. He'll get his hands inside and he'll jolt you around, and all of a sudden you're not in an advantageous situation anymore as a defensive lineman to be able to play your gap or hold up the rush lane in any way. So he's just kind of a subtle winner in that way. I really liked what I saw from him at the point of attack. Haven't seen a ton of him at the second level yet. I think bigger, stronger guys could give him some issues, but I have to see him work into space more at times, because I think that I just like his overall athleticism. I mean, size is terrific. I think that he could probably, he's listed at 305, and I think 6'5", a little under 6'5", like 6'4 and a half around is his height. So maybe he can put on a little bit of weight. Not a true people mover probably ever, but that's fine. You know, I want to keep him as athletic as possible. So I don't know what teams will tell him, but the way that he moves, yeah, is just terrific. I don't see him, I don't see him struggling as a guy that has to get into space, you know, just understands kind of angles and where to find leverage points. And I just really liked a lot of the things that he showed in the run game and in the screen game. And I thought, you know, great ability to sell a pass and then kind of, or get out there on a delayed handoff or a screen, you know, to kick and then get out and in space and latch on, find some contact and find work. Just think he does a really good job in those ways. So you know, enhances the versatility in ways you're able to use him, and way things you're able to do with your offensive scheme because he's on the field. I need to see him more in pass protection. Michigan didn't throw the ball a ton either. And when they did, a lot of max protection looks and simple throws, and you know, not a whole lot to glean from him so far in pass protection. So I need to do more work on him there. But he can definitely drop anchor against power, and I think his lateral agility looks pretty good so far. Got to see him against better. I watched him against Illinois. He was totally dominant. against Penn State so far, I've seen a lot of the same. But again, I got to see him against somebody, you know, interior defensive lineman who is really threatening this past season, because, you know, I got to try and find some games against him against real quality competition. But I don't think Michigan's announced their captains yet for this season. So we'll see if Cole ends up being a captain or not. I couldn't find it anywhere. So again, if you're a Michigan fan, give me a shout out if you know whether Cole's going to be a captain this season, because I couldn't find it. But he's the first true freshman offensive lineman in Michigan history to start a season opener. So it tells you a lot about where he's coming from. He had offers from just about everywhere coming out: Alabama, Arkansas, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Stanford, USC, Wisconsin. That's just probably half of them. You know, consensus four-star guy according to 247 Sports, and played in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. So obviously highly sought after coming out of school. I think he's continued to improve as a technician. I didn't watch any of him at left tackle, so if you saw him, give me a shout out and tell me what you thought of him at left tackle. I probably will at some point, but really wanted to get to his center rep since it seems like that's the position he'll probably project best to. And after watching him there, I don't see why not. I mean, he really, for a zone blocking scheme, he honestly reminded me a decent amount of, and I don't know if he's quite as athletic, but he reminded me a little bit of Alex Mack in the ways that I saw him win reach blocks in a variety of ways. Just very savvy kind of understanding of, like I said, leverage points, hand placement, continuing to work and do enough to seal off rush lanes and things like that. So big fan of Mason Cole and what he offers. He looked like a guy that could be a round two type of player, and with a great season, you know, who knows? And I need to see more of his tape as well, so I don't want to be too bold in my projection of him, but I really think he looks like a player that's going to catch fire and get a lot more prominence as the season goes on. Was a big fan of his tape. So a little shorter of a podcast today than typical because Trevor couldn't join us, but we really appreciate you guys listening. We hope that you'll continue to listen this week as we go through offensive linemen for the 2018 class. We've got a number of big names up on the radar that we're going to lob your way to in the coming days. So make sure you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you run your business from your phone, so you can see what's going on with your company in real time. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is the last business system you'll ever need.